Okay. This morning, our scripture, of course, is from Acts chapter 2. That wonderful passage of Acts, the Pentecost passage, I call it. Words of the scripture will be up on the screen for you. And this is the story of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came down. And we call it the birthday of the church because it was from this point forward that the power of God fell upon the church and it was moved out into the world. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation, Eugene Peterson's contemporary version of the Bible. And you'll also have the, of course, words in front of you. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. And then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. And then, when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning, and they couldn't make head or tail of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." And that's when Peter stood up, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency, "Fellow Jews, and all who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, and also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And when the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Power. Something our world is needing more and more and more of these days. And at the same time, we're also seeing ways in which new sources of energy are being developed to meet the hunger of the world's power needs. You don't have to go very far from this church to find solar panels on people's houses. Anybody have solar panels on their house? A couple of folks? Yeah. You also see wind turbines popping up like dandelions around town. Now that this Lewis Fish House and a couple other places. And of course, we can't forget the new wind turbine out at the University of Delaware Marine Studies. At the cost of $5 million, this project is supposed to produce 5.5 million kilowatts of power to power not only the research facility, but also is going to sell power back to the grid so that the city of Lewis can take advantage of it as well. I've also heard about and read about a new idea where they're going to put solar panels out in space where there's 24 hours of sunlight, as opposed to solar panels that can only work during the day and not at night or on cloudy days. Outer space solar panels and have the power sent to Earth. there's new research that's looking for methane gas. Now, methane gas is cleaner burning and has less fossil fuel emissions than regular oil or gas or coal under the sea and under the permafrost of the Arctic. And then the other day I also read about something called nuclear fusion. Now, this is not the same thing as nuclear fission. Nuclear fission we're familiar with, and that's what powers our nuclear power plants. In fact, nuclear fusion, and I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about here, but I've read all this stuff and I think I understand a little bit of it. Nuclear fusion actually uses the waste generated by nuclear fission. It's still got a ways to go. It's still, you know, somewhat down the road, but there are things happening in that direction. But it's not only the world that needs more power these days. So do we, God's people, the Church of Jesus Christ. I appreciate some of your responses this week to my e-sermon question. I got several good responses. I appreciate that. I asked, how do you sometimes feel powerless in your life or in your service to God through the church? And I got some interesting responses. Some people felt powerless when they wanted to help people. They wanted to step out and be a good Samaritan and whatnot, but they felt it was just too dangerous, too risky. And I get that. I understand that. Or they felt powerless when their loved ones were sick and dying, or are sick and dying, and there's nothing we can do but pray and be there for them. Some people said they felt powerless when change was needed in their workplace, but they were powerless to do anything about it. Or powerless in managing their weight, or dealing with relatives who are battling substance addictions. Or how about how powerless we all feel when we get news, it seems like every day, that more and new sexual predators are preying upon our children. Or when we're challenged to speak the name of Jesus in a public place. Why? Why do we avoid those situations? Why do we cower? Why are we frightened of those things? Why do we not offer a word of hope instead? That's the question I want to address today in my message, Pentecost Power, the power of love. We need more power in our Christian walk. We need more power, more Pentecost power in our faith walk with Jesus. And it was somewhat the same situation with those first disciples back on that first Pentecost. The day that the power of God descended upon a bunch of frightened, cowering, powerless disciples. You see, the disciples were gathered in some room in Jerusalem as per Jesus' instructions. He had told them to go there and wait until the power came. And they're not knowing, you know, how it was all going to come about. They didn't know what was about to happen. You see, they were hiding out because they were afraid that the authorities, the church authorities and the Romans, would seek them out because they were affiliated with this man named Jesus who had just been crucified 50 days prior. Jesus told them to go there and wait for something to happen. And ironically, on the Feast of Pentecost, which is really a Jewish feast day, the celebration of Moses going on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, the pilgrims from all over the known world were in Jerusalem that day. It was like Mecca for Muslims. They all went to be there and to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. And then, as Eugene Peterson's Message translation puts it, without warning, there was a sound of a strong wind, gale force, that no one could tell where it had come from. It filled the whole building. Was this wind power? No. It's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It goes on to say, and then like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. Tongues of fire rested upon each of those disciples. Was this methane gas burning? I don't think so. You see, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they began speaking a number of different languages as the Spirit enabled them. And then Peter. Yes, the same Peter who had denied knowing Jesus three times, the same Peter who had run and betrayed Jesus like the others, was hiding out with these other disciples like frightened chickens. This same Peter stood up that day in the power of the Holy Spirit and said, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk as you suppose. This is what the prophet Joel said would happen. And then whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." That was the first sermon preached in the new church, Peter's Pentecost message. And by the way, it says that over 3,000 people came to the Lord that day as a result of Peter's preaching.